Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another week of the Story of God podcast. We're kind of like sitting down having conversations as we're going through this year-long series looking at the overarching story of God and just looking at, hey, how does that impact our lives, right? And how do we live in light of the grander story that we get to play a part of, right? And so this week, I'm jumping in. My name's Garrett. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, I'll usually be playing worship on Sundays. And I got to my right my dear pal, Jonathan Carey. Say hello to the people, Jonathan.
Hello.
Yeah, that's Jonathan. And then you guys know Pastor Aiden over here, my dear pal on my left. Yes.
My I got dear my dear friend. Pal to the right. I got my dear pal to the left.
Yep, we're a bunch of dear friends. Yep, very cool. But we're here, and Jonathan, you just preached this last weekend. You opened God's Word for us, talking as we've been kind of starting off the series, looking at creation, right? And looking at, like, what is the story of creation? How does it inform the way we live and stuff? And we were talking specifically about work.
Yes.
So before we get any like into the nitty gritty of that, I am curious, what is maybe the weirdest or like most funky job you've ever had?
Yeah, I didn't get to share this in the message because of time, but thinking through a lot of the jobs I've had, you know, I've scrapped metal, I've done landscaping, I've worked on cars, believe it or not. But probably the most memorable was my senior year of college. I was a Napa Auto Parts deliverer driver. Yeah. So I know very little about cars, but I was also a college student who had never driven a truck. So I ended up having three accidents.
Oh, no.
I backed into a pole. I backed into the garage door. And then I, one day there was black ice on the parking lot of the classic car center.
Oh,
and
no.
I hit this car from like the 1950s. I'm turning, I'm braking, and it's just sliding right into it. And so he kept me around because I was a hard worker. I'd sweep the floor when I didn't have anything to do. But yeah, that was a nightmare.
Yeah.
That's a good. You know your employer wants you when you're driving and you get three accidents.
Yep.
Like, keep him around. He's a good guy.
Yep.
He's a good guy.
It was bad. It was embarrassing.
Man. So if any of you have any dinged up cars in the parking lot, check with Jonathan beforehand.
Yeah.
Right? Well, we make him park in. Why don't you park in the back?
Yeah.
Why don't you park
right
by the football
That's why they don't let me drive a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
Very compact cars.
That's fair. Do you have any weird jobs or crazy stories from work?
It's probably one I think of later. I mean, I think my first like real regular job was I worked at the ice cream stand at Doylestown.
Yeah.
So it was hard work. I don't know if you guys have ever scooped sugar-free butter pecan, but it doesn't come out smooth. You got to get some elbow grease in the bottom of that hole. That sweet chop was probably my most pleasant, strange, fun.
Yeah. My
job.
Wife and I were just there the other night, and I was thinking of you.
Did you tell her that I worked there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want that to be a fact that everyone that goes, you know, Aiden used to work here, right?
They need to have a plaque on the side, you know.
Did he die? No, nope. He just doesn't work here anymore.
No, nope. We just got to remember, always remember, local legend. Oh man, very fun. Well, kind of in light of talking about work, right, and the impact that work and even the rhythms of rest within that and stuff, like you had a well-rounded kind of talk about, like, how do we approach this and what does God have to say about like how we indulge ourselves in work and work in and working life. And one of the things that we're talking about, like thinking about this conversation at large, is how in the world we live in, there can kind of be this idea of you have to like hustle hard, right? Go all in, grit it out, that sort of idea. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes even with work, like just like check out, just clock in, clock out, don't even worry about it. And yet looking at the story of God, how do we have sort of a healthy rhythm of work and rest to where it's not on one end of the pendulum swing or the other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about this, that my wife teaches third grade and used to ask, like, what do you want to do for a living? And mm-hmm. it'd be like fireman, policeman, NFL athlete.
Yeah.
Now it's I want to be a YouTube influencer.
Yeah.
You know, because it looks like a lot of fun. Like all they're doing, they're traveling the world, they're doing this and doing that. And I think we can look at life that way mm-hmm. of like, I just want to have fun, and work kind of gets in the way of that fun. And so sometimes it's just a means to an end, a means to like I think I even said it like a vacation. I work so I can play.
Yeah.
Or I can work so I can have these things. Mm-hmm. Like the story I tell about the guy who came in. Even just talking about it again just made me so sad for him. But it was a wake up call for me of like, wow, how am I? Is work my identity? Mm-hmm. Is work more than it should be? Mm-hmm. Do I use sometimes work as an excuse for not applying myself to relationships? Mm-hmm. But then there's also the opposite of like, okay, I need a break from work, but I'm not. I think it's the idea of sometimes we look at we work and then we don't work. Mm-hmm. But even in the work, we can find rest and balance if we do it properly, that it's not just either or, but it can be both.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that makes sense, but
it reminds me of almost that, like, yeah, like you said, it's either hustling, you know, which you'll see that, like, hustle culture, like, mm-hmm. wake up, smash that morning here, eat your athletic greens, uh-huh. walk 9 miles, you know, whatever it is, wake up at 2 a.m. and never, like, there's that stuff, which, you know, it's good, whatever. And then, like you said, there's so much we see that is, like, looks relaxing or looks chill. And so, mm-hmm. whatever, and everybody's got their own version, whether that's Florida or whatever. Mm-hmm. To where I don't know if we don't know how to work right. We don't know how to rest right.
Right.
You know, like, rest feels like, how'd you rest? Oh, I binged Netflix, or I scrolled social, or I did some work at home and stuff. You know, like, we're not really, like, rest for the soul, you know? Like, we don't know how to rest properly. And then work, like you said, like you talked about, something like, it's identity, or it's just getting through, it's a means to an end. Like, we don't actually see value in work, or, even maybe, like, the rhythms nowadays. Like, it's hard to, with remote work, with all kinds of stuff, it could be like, am I working right now? We feel like we're always working. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's not really any clear, like, this is work. It's kind of this always humming thing. And mm-hmm. so it's maybe there's not clear separation where the Lord in Genesis worked for 6 days mm-hmm. and then rested.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we were in Vermont, boys are snowboarders, and we went to the Burton where they make snowboards.
Nice.
And they had like their vision statement on the wall. I can't remember all of it, but at least two of them were like, we play hard. But then the next one was, we work as hard as we play.
Mm. Yeah,
I thought, well, that's really interesting.
Yeah,
that's
sounds like it's rooted in the story of God. Burton snowboards over there.
But, come on, man. Come on,
fun
man.
Place to work.
I love that.
Yeah, and but it can be easy to, in the same sense, that like hustle or just check out can end up being like workaholism or laziness. You know, like that's the fear, like the difference between rest. And being lazy. Right. And if those things aren't not just balanced, but if they're not rooted in the story where we're imaging God's mandate and seeing a vision of that, that's where we're going to fall, you know?
And there's something too, like, where do you get your image for healthy work and rest? Because even sometimes, like, I can idolize the CEO, like, on, like, LinkedIn, who's always, like, posting about how, like, hard he's going, you can even see like people on the other end of it where it's like, man, all they're doing is playing like the YouTuber, and then they get paid millions of dollars for getting to do that. And sometimes there's like the optics of it, of like, I can compare my work to other people and try to formulate my life to look like that. And in our world, in our culture, you're going to see these two extremes where like the beauty of looking at the story of God is God gives us a healthy picture, like in his working right and his resting, God gives us that beautiful picture of like, how should my work look? How should my rest look? Instead of when I look at my world around me, I'm like, yeah, I can see people who either are super, like all they do is play. Even some might even label it as being just lazy and they just hang out and do whatever and then they get paid for it. Or there's people who overwork themselves, like that one story you shared. Mm-hmm. And you read about that and you're like, oh man, well, do I want my life to go either end of those? Or is there a place where God's actually calling me to live, right? Mm-hmm. So,
well, and I think we've made busyness a badge of honor, you know, it's like, oh, I'm so busy, know, and so everybody, like everybody wants to be busy in something.
Yeah.
And, it's not healthy.
Yeah. It reminds me of that the stories, even if we're not all YouTubers, maybe there's one here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we can still have that same mindset of the work is just getting through it so that even if it's just for a weekend, I can do the whatever the ideal story, you know what I mean, whatever the story is that I want to live into. And that my story becomes, this is the important part. This is all just the means to an end. You know, or what you were saying Sunday is that this is all part of the story and super important and beautiful. Yeah.
Mm.
Right.
How do we see that, like, so you say that like it can be seen as a means to an end, like either self-fulfillment as I work harder than everybody else, or even like there's the like part of it of working for just the paycheck, right? It's a means to an end to get the paycheck so that I can pay for the nice vacation or pay for the nicer house or, you know, whatever it might be, right? We can see it as a means to an end. But how does the gospel, how does the story of God, as we've been talking about, shape our understanding of work to be more than just a means to an end? Mm-hmm. Does that kind of make sense, like that idea?
Yeah, I think that is one of the things as I was working through and studying for this message that really stuck out to me and challenged me is, again, just the reminder that work is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, God worked before even, you know, Adam was created. And as soon as Adam is created, like, he puts him in a garden to work. And that I think we have this idea of work of like it's a means to an end. Mm-hmm. It's what I have to do. But it's really – it's something that God uses in our life to develop us and to – we can reflect him, his creativity. Mm-hmm. Like there's things about work that, you know, should be enjoyable. Like, and I know not every job or every day is a good day.
Yeah. Especially when you're crashing into stuff all day in your Napa truck.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I painted houses, and there were some days it was hot. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm up on a ladder 3 stories up, you know, and it was miserable. And yet, when I would drive by that house later, I'd be like, that looks better.
Yeah.
That looks...
Yeah.
Wow, I had a hand in developing or renewing something, and I took enjoyment out of that.
I love the way that developing, renewing, because I think the lie we believe is that the God stuff is your prayers and you're not cussing and your Christian podcast and your church on Sunday and your small group. And so collect all that 10% of your life is the God story. But we're working, we're mothering, raising kids, we're gardening and doing chores outside of sleeping. Let's say sleeping is, like 80% of your life, whatever, big chunk of your life is doing that stuff. And if we don't have a proper story for it, something else will define that. And I love that idea of, and you talked about Sunday, you talked about almost that, I forget if it was like a kind of a Jewish story. But the idea of why didn't God just make a bread tree so we have bread?
Mm-hmm.
But he gives us grain so that we work it. He gives us seeds and he provides the sunlight. Like that, how you talked about how he wants to partner with us. That is, if we miss that, like we're missing, because it feels like, well, painting houses, John, that's not spiritual stuff. That's just life stuff. And you're like, that's what Genesis tells us, is that is spiritual stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why we're having this conversation, or else we are a giant chunk of our life.
Yeah,
isn't for the Lord. I meet with a couple guys. I think I told you guys this. I met with a couple guys, and they're like blue collar guys. I love it because they tease me. They're like hunters and stuff. And they're like, you want to come with us, Aiden? And one of them does plumbing, and one of them works on different construction sites. And they were just saying, we were talking about a couple weeks ago in Romans about our lives as living sacrifices.
Yeah.
And they brought up, one guy was like, because in their walk with Jesus, the Lord, what the Lord's teaching them, one's like, me and my guy, before we get out of the truck, we pray for the job we're going to be on, this plumbing job, that like the Lord would be in it and that he give us perspective, and we just kind of almost like consecrating it. And then this other guy delivers materials to work sites, and he's like, he used to just drop stuff off. Drop stuff off. And then he's like, and then after he came to know Jesus, he was like, and he said, this was of no like me asking him a question, he just brought it up, was like, someone's going to live in this house. This is going to be someone's home. So I don't want to just drop stuff. I want to like do the best that I can because someone's going to live here.
Yeah.
And that is like, it's that of what you were saying, which is such a beautiful part of the whole thing. We can just miss that if we're believing a different story about work.
Yeah, I like to go back to, and I mentioned this in our 20s, 30s group one time, and there was like maybe one or two people who knew Chariots of Fire. Mm. Like that was a big deal when I was growing up. Like I was in high school, and the story of Eric Little, but I remember him saying something like, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure."
Huh.
And is, you know, that has really challenged me through life. Like even in my work, in my play, my recreation, my family, whatever it is, mm-hmm. like it can all be done to glorify God, to experience like His glory, to be a part of His story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God gave him the ability to run and to run well. And I think when we start to identify the things that God has blessed us with to do well or to continue to learn and develop, mm-hmm. like we feel God's pleasure, like we feel His enjoyment.
Can I ask you a question?
Flip the tables.
How does that practically, like, how do you go from, because we all work jobs, you're like, oh gosh, we're passionate, there's so many days that you're like, mm-hmm. okay, you know, how do you start to go from the mundane of work or the I just have to get by to seeing work as pleasure or to, I use the word consecrate, I don't know if there's a better word, like giving it to the Lord. Like, what do you guys think in terms of just the practical, you know, so to the mom, to the blue collar, white collar, retired, to the high school kid working at Arby's, like how does that go? Like what practical things would you guys encourage?
Yeah, you might remember, there's a small book. My wife and I have it on our mantelpiece there. Every Moment Holy. If you're familiar with that. So it's actually a really good resource. And it's one of those things, like, as I share about, like, I've used it. I haven't used it as much as I probably would have liked to, like, recently. But the whole concept of it is it's a book of like liturgy or prayers. And what you do is it has, for the little mundane moments to even the big life moments, there's little prayers that you can pray. So like there's one for your first cup of coffee in the morning. What's a little prayer that you can say to start your day with that? Or even a nighttime bedtime prayer that you can pray with your children.
There's one in there for like putting up the Christmas tree.
Yeah, for putting up your Christmas tree. And there's something to that of like, I think it's helpful, like, to those of us that would enjoy something like that. Like that's a practical thing, like a little book you can buy and just get, and it like has little things for moments like that. But I think within that, it just having the mindset, this is where my brain goes, that worship is not something that happens just on a Sunday or in a service like that. So there's the aspect that worship, like you were talking about Romans 12:1, that idea that my life would be a living sacrifice, would I start to look at my calendar, would I look at my day-to-day tasks as like going into it with the mindset of like, God, how can I worship you in this with the work of my hands? Mm. I was like showing you pictures. My wife and I just built a chicken coop.
It's a nice chicken. And These guys are good at building things.
Yeah,
They are handy.
But like building a chicken coop and just like thinking about like, this is where my brain goes. Okay, yeah, this is something fun for us. Like we're like starting to homestead, I guess. We're making sourdough starter, all that sort of stuff. But you're making this, and it's more for like there's some joy in it. Like I think as I like you know experience joy, I think the Lord works in that in my own heart. Like just experiencing the joy of the Lord of building something, making something with my hands. But then also I think about how can I use this for even serving and loving others. So like we produce eggs. Like I think we brought you guys eggs the other week and stuff. Like so like we get
fed
like
my family.
Well, yeah, we're. We're not getting a ton of them, but there's like, man, like how can even the work of my hands be fruitful to produce a blessing for others? Like guy like building a house, he's like, well, I'm doing this thing and it's not just, you know, checking off a box, but it's like, man, this will be a blessing. This will literally be putting walls and roofs over a family, you know? So
that's great.
That's where I think that's practically.
Good. I love that. Yeah. I just don't think we're not good at seeing good and gratitude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think practicing gratitude
and
just being able to look back on my day. And even though it was a horrible day, there's still things that I can find that it's like, wow, thank you for that conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that opportunity. It was a hard conversation, but wow, this is what I learned from it. Or this is, you know, they went away with a new understanding or, and just finding, finding those areas of gratitude and realizing the blessing. I think it's something we need to practice.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, of every day sitting down thinking about, okay, what can I be grateful for even in the hard things?
Because it's so easy for, I mean, that's one of the lies that you see in Genesis is this seed sowing of discontent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's so easy at the end of the day, and unless it was a really big high, just to be discontent with, to mainly reflect and think of all the little discontent moments and not reprioritize to what were those.
Yeah.
I think it's huge. Yeah.
100%. 100%. A great next step. Check out our website. I would love to maybe, like, you know, extend that invitation, be a part of the conversation, right? Instead of it just being one way where you hear us like talking head, come on a Sunday, be a part of a group of people talking about the things that we're discussing as we're in this year long series doing this. But other than that, I think next week we'll have another episode continuing to even just like elaborate more on what we're talking about as a church family. So love you guys.
Let's get back to work.
Yep. We're going to get back to work. God bless.